Hi, this is the New Life tape album, or the New Life pack. And this is Jonathan Kahn, the senior pastor and rabbi of Beth Israel, or you might know me as other things. And I don't know you, or I don't know you yet, but this tape series is really the most important thing I could do. And it's really the most important thing you could listen to. It's going to be the answer, and it's going to contain the way and the secrets of living a life of joy and blessing, the greatest life you can live, of peace, of fulfillment, how to find purpose, how to find really everything that's worth finding. And how much is that worth? Well, it's priceless. It's beyond that. The purpose is to give you what you need now to live a successful life with God, and you want to start right. And so this is going to consist of 12 sort of mini seminars or teachings on 6 cassettes. They'll be around a half an hour each, give or take some, and each one will be a different teaching or a different subject, a different area. And let me go through it right now so you have an idea. First, it's going to be on the first tape. Well, I'm going to give you an introduction to the whole thing, and then there'll be a little teaching called What's It All About, or What Happened, or The New Beginning, The New Birth. What is that all about? And salvation. The second one, which will be the second side of this first cassette, will be The 4 Foundations of Success. These are the 4 most important practices that you need to do in order to live a really successful life in God. The third teaching is called Stepping Out and the Butterfly Principle. And that's about action and the changes that happen when you act. It's going to be a very practical and exciting tape there. The fourth one is called Manna, or from the manna from heaven, the Word. And that's going to be all about the Word of God, how to read it, how to start the Bible, all about that, and how to discern truth from error and all sorts of things that you need to know about the Word. And the fifth one is called The Lover and the Beloved. And that's about God and you and relationship and how to relate to God and how he relates to you. The sixth is called Changing Clothes. And that's about the old identity and the new identity, the old you and the new you, and making the break in your life, how to do that, the secret of making the break. The seventh teaching is called Cool, Uncool, and maybe the Doritos Principle, or the Junk Food Principle. And that's about all different areas of life. It'll answer questions, what is cool, what's uncool, and from God, and how do you go from uncool to cool in the Lord, from bad to good. The eighth one is called The Others, successfully dealing with people in your life, how to deal with them now in God's way and, in all relationships in your life. The ninth is called Dragon Slaying. That's that, how to deal with things that come against you, how to overcome what's already against you, how to overcome in life, how to deal with it, from overcoming opposition, discouragement, falling, tough times that come into your life, falling into ruts or busyness or coldness or just a bad situation, rejection. How do you deal with it? 10 is Heaven's Secret Agent, or your mission, and what God calls you to do, and what is God's will for your life? What do you do now? The 11th is called The Happiness Secrets, or the Abundant Life Secrets, and the secrets of success and joy and abundance in God. And the last are tips and other secrets and keys and everything else thrown in. Okay. Now, I could not possibly do everything. I mean, how could that be? But it is, I'm seeking here to put all in a concentrated form, the most important things. And so it's sort of like concentrated orange juice or a tea bag. You got to let it soak. You got to let it, don't just listen to it once, and don't just listen to it like, okay, I heard that. Listen to it again and again and again and again. The blessings from this, if you apply it to your life, you can't, it's just beyond anything you could ever get or pay for it. And so it's up to you. You'll get what you invest in, what you apply. It's not made to just be alone. You should be part of a fellowship If you're getting this from Beth Israel, then come on out. Be part of a congregation, and you should be part. You need to be part of a small group in some way of believers, of a Bible study, prayer group, fellowship. You know, I know there's a lot of excuses that you could have, and you know, I know you're busy. We're all busy, and we're work and busy at home. We got a million things and all. But you know what? You can't be too busy for this because it's the most important thing. If this isn't first, you know, if you don't get these things as a foundation in your life, everything else is, it's never going to fall into place. It's never going to be right. You're always going to be too busy. But if you put the first things first, then what the Word of God says, all other things will fall into place. It says, you know, you see, it says, seek God and his righteousness first. And all the other things will fall into place. So you need to make that time to truly give quality time. Again, if it's just going to be listening through, that's not it. Listen, let it soak in, hear it again and again, and apply it. Now, here's how we make it available. You probably, if you had purchased this, I guess you'd get everything. But if this was given to you as a gift because you came to the Lord, you know, at a service or something, then the way we do it, we make it available completely free, but on the condition to make it real, not just you have it, but that you apply it. Only if you apply it, again, what you invest in with your time and attention and you're doing, that's what you'll be blessed with. So it is more than worth it. And so, again, as I said, these are concentrated. You know, the condition is listen carefully, take as many times as you need, and then apply it. Once you do that, then, and you're ready to go on to the next one, after you've applied it in your life, because that's when it's going to be real. There's something about it. I can't explain it, but there's something about it that will start changing your life when you apply it. After that, then, you know, contact, let us know, or if you're somewhere across the country or wherever, let them know if this is done through a congregation. But what we'll do is what we'll try to do. We want you to be able to, if you have any questions or any, you need help with anything, or you have any problems or wondering about anything you heard, anything on the teaching or anything, period, you need to know. We'll try to have somebody call you if you're part of it, if you're getting this from Beth Israel. If not, hopefully that congregation will have somebody. And you can tell them, you know, hey, I did this tape, you know, I've done this, I'm ready for the next one. You know, and so just tell them and they'll do everything to get it to you. If you don't get it, just, you know, do everything, pursue. Or also there's, you might have a card or coupons that you can just fill out and say, yep, I've listened to it, applied, done the applications, I'm ready for the next thing, and send that in. Or, you know, even, better is, you know, if you got this through a congregation at, you know, be part, because that is crucial. It's not meant to, again, be alone without people. You need to do it that way. If you really want to grow, you have to do it that way. After the service, then, you know, let them know. You know, there should be a place you can get it, or bring the coupon in, whatever, and just pick it up. Pick up the next one. Okay, now, here's the first application, and it's going to be real simple. It's going to be kind of foolish, but get used to it. Get used to, you know, just unlocking here, like going with it, and applying things. And it's going to be so simple. And what I'm going to ask you to do in a few moments is to turn off the cassette for about 5 seconds and then turn it back on. I know it sounds crazy, but hey, do it. All right. So you can begin. Turn off this cassette right now. Okay. I assume you turned it on or you wouldn't be hearing this. Now, the point is this. What was the point? You need to be able to do that as you listen to this series, because things will be done in such a way that you participate with it. And so, first of all, if you hear something and, you know, it's an important thing, it's a big thing, again, like that tea bag, you got to let it soak in, it's concentrated, so just turn off the cassette and soak it in. And let it become part. Soak it in. You can rewind it. You got a cassette and you can hear it and you can listen again. Make sure you get it. Okay. But that's the important thing. You don't be in a rush to, you know, you have to get through it by a certain time. The point is continually, just let it sink in. Let it be quality. All right. And then when it comes to the time for the application, also turn off the cassette and apply it. Once you're finished doing the application, turn it back on. Okay. Now, There will be some truths that are repeated, obviously, and in different ways because they're so important or they come up in different times. That means it's crucial. But really, everything here will be of great importance. If you came from a special background, I mean, you might have come from another religion or another thing, we do have some resources that could help. For instance, if you're Jewish, we have something called Finding Your Messiah. It's 2 one-hour tape. Cassettes, and we'll make it available to you, and it'll answer your questions. How it turns out, it's the most Jewish thing you ever did in your life. Maybe you're from Islam. We have a tape called Islam and the Messiah, and other things like that. Or maybe you're dealing with doubt and belief, and reasons. So we have tapes on that, and there are good books you can get on that. One is called More Than a Carpenter by Josh McDowell. Another is called Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. Another is called Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell. Another one also by Josh McDowell is Don't Check Your Brains In at the Door. That's for kind of youth. But all those things are for your faith and reasons, and why things are true. We have some cassettes called Resurrection on Trial, The Resurrection on Trial, God on the Blue Planet that are good for that. And also Finding New Life. If you're not sure about what that, this is really what to do now once you've come. And I mean, I'll review a little bit there, but we have a tape called Finding New Life if you need to know more about that, about coming, the new birth. But I will touch on it now. All right, that's the introduction to the introduction, or to the first sharing. So let's get ready as we begin the first teaching for the rest of this tape, which will be what happened and what's the new birth all about, the new beginning. All right, what happened, the new birth, the new beginning, what's that all about? Right now, maybe you're saying, what is this? Where do I go from here? What did I do? Or what? I don't know what this. Listen. People seek happiness and joy and success and meaning in their life and love and acceptance and all those things. And people, spend all their time, money, energy striving for these things. Everything they've got. And people tell you that, you'll get it in, get some more money and you'll get that, get another house and, if you can get this person to like you or love you and you get married, this will be it. And it's always like seeking for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And when you get there, you either don't get there. Or if you do get there, it's, you say, wait, this wasn't it. It still is not it, But you know what? This, what I'm telling you about now, is it. And it's not a quick fix, shallow thing. It's not a rosy colored thing. It's the real thing. It is from God. I didn't make this thing up. This is from God. It is the most ancient of answers and yet the newest answers. This is a real thing, and it's God is real, and what he does in our lives is real. We need to be real with him. This is about the new beginning. And, so now you may be saying what happened? Well, again, we have that teaching called Finding New Life if you need more on that. But you might be feeling a million different things right now. You might have been feeling confusion or, what I do, or I don't know, I did too much, or you might be in tears. When you pray to receive the Lord, it might be a tearful thing. You might have had a supernatural experience. Something happened inside you as you prayed, or you just felt lifted or relieved, or you just felt joyous, or you didn't feel anything, or whatever, or you're wondering, wait, what did I get myself into? Listen, relax, first of all, relax. When I came to the Lord, and I did it after a lot of fighting, I came kicking and screaming. My friend had told me that when he had come, who I knew before that, he'd prayed to receive the Lord in his life, and it was just like lightning inside him. And I thought, okay, when you come, there's lightning inside, or maybe there's some bells that go off, or maybe, just like saying, hey, you've been accepted. There's a little bell that says, number 50321 has been, accepted. I didn't feel anything, and I said, what went wrong? And I wrote a letter to a minister. I said, and the point is, we are saved by faith, number one. Some people feel it, some people don't. It doesn't matter. We are not saved by feelings. The feelings will come. You follow, okay? Relax, okay? It's the best thing you could ever have done with your life, and that is to put it in the hands of the one who made it, okay? It's real simple. Now, so sometimes there could be a backlash of all sorts of feelings. Listen, this is right. It is him. It is the path that you've known in the back of your mind your whole life. It is him calling you home and calling you to life. Okay. There's no other way. It's never been. There's not a, you know, someone's not going to, you know, invent a way and, you know, the latest thing or the latest fad. It's not there. There's only been him, and that's what it's about. And now it's you. Now, you might be in a million places in your life. You might be a businessman. You might be a president of a corporation. You might be a garbage man. You might be a homemaker. You might be a teenager. You might be a student, a million different things. It doesn't matter. We all need it. We're all different, you know, and yet deep down, we're the same in our hearts. We need. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic or Protestant or Jewish or Buddhist or Muslim or Islam or whatever. You know, some things, I mean, there's a big difference. You have to learn, you know, there's some things you have to unlearn. Even if you were, quote, brought up, quote, Christian, you know, it's not denominations. You know, in heaven, there's going to be no denominations. You know, you can be Catholic, Protestant, that's fine. But the point is that just, you know, going to church a few times a year and praying when you need help, or just having kind of a sense in your heart, or, you know, and you know, I don't underestimate that. But the point is, Jesus himself said, or his real name, by the way, in Hebrew is Yeshua or Joshua. He said, you must be born again. So all this stuff, you know, and being in a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car. And, you know, you can't be just raised as one, you know, because he said, you must be born again. Those are his words. I'm going to read it to you. So, you know, I'm going to show it to you. If you have a Bible around, hopefully you have it, you'll need one. The point is, you must be born. No one's born a Christian. You have to be born again. It's the only way. And I'll explain that in a moment. So the point is, we all need God, no matter what. And we're empty without that. It's said that without him, there's like a God-shaped vacuum in our heart. So we try to fill it with a million different things in our life. You only know what you've tried to fill it with, but it's made only for him. And only, you know, there's only one faith in the world that centers on love, the love of God. And, you know, so we find ourselves empty until he comes into our life, and that's only by our saying yes and receiving him. And it makes sense. Think about it. You know, just it's real simple. Only he who gave you life can give you new life, you know? And, you know, it's, you know, we speak about, you know, being children of God. We're all children of God. Well, you know what? No, I mean, Hitler wasn't a child of God. And no, you know, it says that God is spirit. So if you're born of flesh and blood, which we are born of our mother and father on earth. That's what we're the children of. But to be born of God, think about it. It's also real simple and yet deep. We need to be born of the Spirit. So is the first birth, that kind of doesn't work out. We have this life we know there's something missing. Things are not quite right. That's why there's the second birth, and that's what you choose. And I'm not, you know, I didn't come up with this stuff. This is what I'm reading from the Bible. If you have a Bible, you get this verse, and you can turn off the tape until you can get it, and then I'll read it with you. John 3, the Gospel of John, not the thing that says 1 John, the letter, but the Gospel just says John and then chapter 3. Now, here's what it says, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, because no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God weren't with him. In reply, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he can't go into his mother's womb a second time and be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised by my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, this is real clear. These are his words. So it's you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That's salvation. That's being saved. You wonder if you're going to heaven. Well, it's the thing is, you're born into it. And it's as real as birth was, so is the second birth. It's as real as life-changing as that. There's a new life. It's as there's an old life. There's a new life. There's a break. There's a new birth. And it's what you were meant to know and receive from the day you were born, when the day you were put in your mother's womb. You must be born again. You can replace your name. It's a good thing in the Bible to make it real personal, because it's to you. Unless whatever your name is, put it in there. John is born again. Unless Susan is born again. Unless whatever your name is, born again, you cannot enter. But you can be born of the Spirit. And if you pray to receive him, That's when it comes. You're saying, hey, the old life, that's gone. I want to follow you. I want salvation. I want it. And you receive him. I'm making you Lord of my life. A lot of people say, well, you know, yeah, he's my savior. All that. But it doesn't mean anything. It's head knowledge. It's got to be heart knowledge, you know, where you truly make him the Lord of your life, meaning he's number one. I'm going to follow you. It's your will. You know, I mean, I'm going to trust you. You know, I'm giving you all my sins. I'm giving you everything, my burdens. I'm giving, you know, it's like marriage. You know, you give everything, you know, you say what's mine is yours. So all your burdens, it's a great deal. All your sins, all goes to him and all his blessings come to you and you follow him. And that's what the cross is all about. That's what it's the love of God. That's what that's about. Now, let me give you a nutshell version of salvation in a nutshell. God created you. He has a special purpose for you. You're not an accident. He's got a great purpose for your life. But we've all messed up. This world is messed up. We've all turned away. And so there's a gigantic gap between us and God, and it's an infinite one. That's what sin does. And only, you know, if it's an infinite gap, only God can do it. Only he can. Only he who made life can redeem life. We need him. We need to receive him. God so loved the world that whoever would believe in him would not perish. You know, without this, we just, you know, we're going to be eternally one place or another. And God wants all to be saved, but it is our choice to say yes. You know, I mean, there's so much to this. And when we receive and follow him and, you know, the new birth, that's when salvation happens. And, you know, that's what, again, the cross is all about. It's paying the price. Only God can pay the price of the separation and the greatest possible love that we can ever know. And, you know, there's so much more, but let me give you some scriptures that just kind of, you know, sum this up. And one is Romans, which, you know, you could call the theological foundations, but just to be aware of it, Romans 3:22-24 basically says that, you know, we get saved by faith. It's all a gift from God. And it's not, you never earn it. You never, you know, you can't achieve it. Doesn't matter how good you can be. We can never make 100%. You know, once you're 99%, you can't make 100, you know, doesn't matter how good or bad. The point is, it's a gift, and by faith, that's how we receive it. True faith, not just, oh, I know about him, you know, I've known about him. No, it's the real saving faith, you know, where he's the center of your life. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, by grace you've been saved. It's not by works. Grace, that means, when you read that word, that's talking about, it's the love of God that you didn't deserve. It's just, he loves you, you know, it's, so it's centered on him. We get our eyes off ourselves. John 3:16, of course, as I said, God so loved the world, and that's a key thing there. Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So what if you're the worst person in the world? What if the worst, you know, sinner, criminal? It doesn't matter. Everyone, you know, those he will not reject, but you have to come. 1 John, this is not the same as the Gospel, John. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all sin. So is there any sin he won't cleanse you from? No, but you need to bring it to him. John 10:9 says, on the door, anyone who enters will be saved. And John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God, those who believe in his name and received him. And then again, you must be born again. So it's not a religious thing. It doesn't matter how religious you are. You can be all the religion in the world. It's a relationship with your maker, and it's salvation. That's what it's about. Now, one thing about it, you know, it's real. You know, it's not based on feelings. Again, you know, it's a birth. It's the new birth, but it's by the Spirit. So you don't see it. You don't, you know, but you know something? When you were born the first time, you know, it wasn't that your mother immediately knew you existed. You were small. Life starts out small. What's real starts out real small. So she didn't feel it. It wasn't feelings. And then as it grew, you know, then she felt it. Same with a new birth. I mean, you might have felt something immediately, but the point is it starts out small and grows in your life as you follow. So don't make the mistake of panicking, going by feelings. That's not it. It grows as you follow him. It grows. And then, you know, when I came to the Lord again, it was like that. I said, Lord, where's the feeling? You know, and, you know, I didn't feel anything. And yet then as I walked, as I followed, you know, I knew, then it started changing. Then if I look back, you know, after a while, I look back at my life, I said, wow, it's a completely new life, you know. But you'd be consistent and walk, allow yourself to grow. You know, it might be high in feelings sometimes, low in feelings. It's deeper than that. Hold on by faith. You know, don't make the mistake of following feelings. Your faith, you're trusting in reality, and your feelings will follow behind, but you're not following feelings. You follow God. Okay. And the you know, again, it's a real beautiful thing. Is it just like, again, like a marriage, you know? You might have known him, might have been, you know, consider yourself a friend of him. You called him when you needed trouble, you call him. But when you're married, you become each other's, you know, your life becomes his life, yours, and you follow. And it's a thing of love. It is the most important thing you can do after being born. And it's really, you know, it is that real. It says, if anyone is in Messiah, it says in Corinthians, he or she is a new creation. The old things have passed away. New things have come. Now, it's not that you don't, that everything in your world, you know, outside changes, but from the inside out, the old passes away. You're a new person. The slate is wiped clean. I mean, you know, you could rejoice for the rest of your life. You have enough to be joyful for the rest of your life. I mean, to pass out of judgment, to be saved from hell, to enter heaven, to have heaven. I mean, that's it. You know, everything after that, everything's a vacation. Compare all your worries, all your burdens is a vacation compared to that. So learn to rejoice and be glad, and in that you smile because God does love you. It's true. That's the gospel. Now I'm going to close with a story, and it's one that Messiah told, and you can find it in the whole thing in Luke 15, verse 11 to 32. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to retell it, but you can read the real thing for yourself there. Basically, a guy has two sons. One of them says, Dad, give me all that's mine. I'm taking off. I want my possessions. I want everything that's coming to me, and I'm taking off, and he takes off, and he with his, what his father gave him, he spends it all on partying and drinking and sleeping around. And finally, he loses everything. He has no money, and there's a famine in the land. He ends up having to hire himself out feeding pigs. And right there, he hits rock bottom. He says, "This is crazy. I you know, the pigs eat better than I do. You know, if I went home, you know, my father's servants eat better. I'm going to go home to my father. I'm going to ask his forgiveness. Say, Father, I've sinned against you and against God. Please take me back as a servant, not as your son anymore. I'm not worthy, but take me back as a servant." So he heads home. He decides to go home, and he's heading home, and his father sees him in the distance, and his father, instead of judging and condemning him, he runs out to him, opens his arms around him, hugs him, and kisses him, and he's about, you know, the son is to say, Father, I've sinned, and he says, listen, he says, bring the best robe, put it on my son, the best sandals, bring everything out, the ring, everything, and let's have a great celebration because my son was lost and now he's found. He was dead and now he is alive. And that's what salvation is. You see, we're all the prodigal son. In one way or the other, even if you're religious, even if we go our own way. We do it our way. We live our life. We kind of keep God out of our life. You know, and we just do our thing and we end up being empty, bankrupt in one way. In our hearts, we're bankrupt. And so, you know, we're now, and this happened to you, you know, you said, I'm coming back. I want to go home. For the first time, I want to go home. And, you know, you could expect God to judge and sit up there and just say, well, you've sinned and all that. Instead, his arms are open. He's a loving father. He runs to us. He doesn't walk. He runs. He hugs you. He kisses you. He says, put the best robe on. You were dead. Now you're alive. You're my child. And that's what grace is. That's what it's about, you know? So rejoice in that. You know, what is the new birth? Well, it's a king forgiving someone of like $1 million dead. It's a shepherd, saving his lamb. It's a divine second chance in life. It's getting a second chance. It's having all the junk wiped away, being pardoned, being set free. It's like being on death row and ready to be killed. And then someone comes in and takes your place. You're let go and they die for you. And it turns out, you know, it's that a friend came and died for you. And the friend is God, you know, it's having peace with God. It's coming home. It's everything that's good. You know, it's like, you know, in the natural, it's kind of like, you know, a long night and then comes dawn, you know, or going through a hard, cold winter. And then all of a sudden it's spring. And that's what it's about. So what can I say? But congratulations. Welcome to the family of God and salvation. You made it. You got in, you know, and it's the greatest thing you could have ever done. And just saying yes and with all your heart. So now it's going to be an adventure. It's a journey. He's going to lead you. Get into knowing him. Get into the joy of knowing him and talking to him, relating to him and following him and stepping out. And you're going to be blessed. It's up to you to go and to follow, but he'll bless you as you go. Before we get on to the second teaching, which is the four secrets of happiness and success, the four practices of success in God, what now? Well, first, you have a Bible. Now, treasure it. It's a treasure. And I'll tell you how to use it later in different ways, but you can just start going. But here's the action mission right now, the assignment here. Okay, here's the first one. Open up to the book of Ephesians. Now, you find anything in there, pray for God to lead you to a verse that's going to speak to your life. It'll pop out or just speak to you. That's what happens. You read the Bible. Sometimes things just pop out. A verse, something that will relate to your life. Then when you get it, let it soak in, ponder it, consider what it means, and see how it has to be applied to your life. And then apply it. Do something new. Like, for instance, if you open up to Ephesians 5, it says, husbands, love your wives. Well, maybe, you know, you've hurt your wife. You maybe, well, you're a new person now. Do something. Write down something that you need to do and do it. Whether get her flowers, do something, you know, bless her in some special way. Do something practical. Take it and apply it. Do some action that's consistent with the new birth, declaring who the new you that you are. You're not the old you. You're the new you, and you're what you were made to be. Okay? Also, get into relating to God and take some time to just speak to him from your heart and spend time with him. All right? But don't go to the next teaching. Don't go to the four secrets until you do that action. Okay? God bless you. And the four secrets of the practices of happiness and success in God are on the other side. Hi. This is the second teaching and mini-seminar of the New Life tape cassette album, and this is going to be the four foundations of success. But before we do it, let me make sure, if you haven't heard the first one yet, go back and hear the beginning, which is your new life, your new beginning. And if you've heard it, but you have not yet done the application, the mission, the action, then don't listen to this yet until you do it, because you don't want to get into the habit of not doing these things, because these things will transform your life as you start doing it. So for your own sake, stop the tape and do that application, which is at the end of the first teaching. Okay? Now, let's go for it. I got to go a little quick because there's a lot here. Now, first of all, success. You know, the world comes up with all sorts of ways of success, money and, you know, and a home and new possessions and getting this person, getting a picket fence and a two-car garage and all that will give you happiness and success. And you end up getting it and you don't have the thing you thought you would have. Only in God can you find true success, only by following him. But how? You find success by following him successfully. He'll take care of the rest. You know, there are books about the 7 habits of successful or effective people, the 8 habits of this and this. And I'm going to show you 4 habits, meaning regular things that you put into your life. After a while, it just becomes second nature. Yet over time, they'll have a radical, revolutionary effect on your life. It'll change everything. But the key is you have to make them habits, regular habits. I did a tape once called Good and Good For You, and also one called The X Factor. It's about some amazing things that these things even affect things like your health, your cholesterol level, your blood pressure level, getting disease, your mental health, how long you'll live. It's amazing stuff, and you can get them. But scientific, sociological studies from U.S. News and World Report, Johns Hopkins Institute of Health, that, you know, they studied the effect of faith on health, and they found you could boil them down to pretty much these 4 things here that we've been telling people always. These are keys of successful life in God. It's amazing. So now 3 of the 4 are daily practices. One of them doesn't necessarily have to be daily, but it's great if you can do it daily, but more than weekly, okay? More than once a week, more than that, okay? Specific blessings in your life. But the key is you must put them into practice. Make them absolutes, safeguard them, protect them, set aside time for them no matter what else is going on. Even when you're going through tough times and a crisis and all that, do it when you feel like it, do it when you don't. Okay, it's like we want fast food, we want joy and happiness without any kind of putting into anything. And that's what the world offers you. Say, oh, you know, you want joy, get a Big Mac. You want happiness, you know, get this, you know, drink some beer. Put on this perfume and get this car. And, you know, you do the stuff, it might give you a thrill, but it doesn't give you a life of happiness. It doesn't work that way. You need to do it God's way. And so there are some disciplines here, and these are, I'm giving you really minimums, but guard these minimums. Keep at it in season and out. Doesn't matter who you are. You're a professor. You're a president of a corporation. You are a garbage man. You're a homemaker. It doesn't matter. The key is just do it consistently. With consistency over time, it'll change your life. You might say, oh, I'm too busy. I'm not that kind of person. I don't know how, I'm not into books, or I'm not spiritual or praying or whatever. I don't have any self-control. It doesn't matter. You are made to do these things. But it's just going to take time. You're not used to it. You're unlearning the old ways. It's going to take time. But as you do it, It's going to change your life. These are four vessels, meaning they are kind of containers of the blessings God will work through them to allow for deep changes in your life. It's not like if, say, if you want a beautiful garden, but you know you don't want to put any work into it. You want to be kind of lax about it. Well, you're not going to have a beautiful garden. You'll have weeds come in there. Things won't grow. You'll have no fruit. You know, in order to have a beautiful garden, you have to put into it. You know, you have to be disciplined and just get in the habit of doing what you need to do. So the same way, you want a beautiful life? Well, you got to put into it. You got it and do it God's way. You know, either way, you're going to spend all sorts of time and energy struggling for a good life or happiness or even just fighting off a terrible life, you know. But here I'm showing you the way. Here, very simple habits and disciplines, but just don't get scared by that word. Just habits, things you do regularly as a joy, and it will bless your life. And here's the even better than that. Four out of the four, two of them can be done in the same time period. Okay, so the first thing I'm telling you, which is not one of the four, but it's something that embraces the first two, and that is take a time period, say not less than 20 minutes. It can be more, but at least 20 minutes and block it out. It can be when you get up. It could be before you go to bed, but not when you're totally tired. It could be lunch break, sometime that won't be interrupted. And if you're real busy, find a creative way, you know, to find it when the kids are asleep or when you can sneak out here or whatever it is. Make it unviolatable. You cannot violate it as best as possible. If it's an emergency and all right, so be it, or you just forgot, make up or just get back into it. All right, do another. But have the habit. If you miss it, don't worry, but seek not to ever miss it as a regular part. Okay, make it a part of your life. The Hebrews in the wilderness were told to build a tent, and there it was called the tent of meeting. God met with them, but they first had to stake out a time and a place and a space for God, for them to just be with God. You need to do the same thing. Imagine you had an appointment with a world leader, a prime minister, or a president. You were summoned to do it. Well, you'd rearrange your schedule. You know how much more when you've been summoned to a meeting with God. You know, don't see this as a chore, but as a privilege. This is your secret place and your secret time, your quiet time. You're going to need it. It's going to transform your life over the long period. And even it'll bless your health. It'll bless everything else. It'll be, look at it as your greatest joy within your day. Saying, I can't wait to get to this, you know, till I can just spend time just being refreshed. At least 20 minutes, okay? And within those 20 minutes, at first you may not know what to do. That's okay. Just take right now, just block out 20 minutes quiet time, special time. You know, when you build a house, you know, let me read this to you here. In Matthew 7, the Lord says this. He gives a little thing. He says, therefore, everybody who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, but it didn't fall because it had been founded on the rock. Everybody who hears these words of mine and doesn't act upon them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the floods descended, the wind blew and burst against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The point is, now, within that, there are a few things. One is hearing the word. You want a strong life? You got to build a foundation. And we're talking about building a strong foundation for a strong life. Maybe you haven't been a strong person. You've been a weak person. You've had a weak life. You just kind of go back and forth. Well, you're going to become a strong person, but you need to put these foundations in effect, and your life, your house will be strong, and you will be a strong person. But you just be committed to this. When you build a house, first you build a foundation. It's not an easy thing to first do it, you know, and you want to get right to the rest of the house, but you got to put time in building a foundation. This is the foundation. Feelings come and go, but if you establish a foundation, regular, daily foundation, it will become your life. So resolve, no matter what, to set this time. Here's the first application, okay? The first application is if you have a planner or a scheduler, whatever it is, if you have that in your life, set out 20 minutes each day for the next week or month. And even if you do for a week, then before the week ends, do it for the next week. And set out that 20-minute periods, those meetings with God, quiet, secret time, okay? And even if it's the same time every day, still, just to get into the habit, first write it out on that planner and do it for a while, and then until it's just become second nature. If you don't have a planner, just write down somewhere, I resolve to put this, and write down the times. You know, it could change. The time can change in the day, but if you have a regular time, it's probably easier to get into a habit. But either way, write down for the next week when, you know, the times that you're going to meet, even if it's the same time, and resolve, and a dedication, and either way, and even if you have the plan, write in the planner, also on somewhere, write, I resolve to do this, you know, with all my, you know, and give it to God. Say, listen, Lord, help me do this. I'm committing this to you. All right. That's number one. All right. And turn off this cassette and do that. And then come back when you've done it. Okay. Now here, we spoke about a house. Well, I'm going to try to come up with an easy way of remembering this, but, you know, this is certainly flawed. But the point is this. I took the Spanish word for a house, casa, and I'm spelling it C-A-S-A. And since there are four foundations of the house, casa, it's casa F for the four. Okay, so you take casa F, and you got an acronym there. You got five letters there, but we want to deal with four foundations. So take out that first A, and so you just got the casa F. You go the C-S-A-F. Okay, and here are your four foundations. Number one, C, communion, and that's prayer. Now there's a lot of misconceptions about prayer. You think it's this chant, you know, this is liturgy, I got to be super religious and liturgical and come to God and say, oh, Lord, you know, Domine, you know. No, you don't have to speak Latin and you don't have to speak Hebrew, you don't have to, that's not it. Or you think that, you know, there's this formula to it. No, there's no formula to it. Forget all this stuff. The first thing about prayer is forget how to pray, just pray. You know what it is? Let me give you a simple thing. It's talking to your best friend. You know, and yet he's the holy of holies. He's the Lord of existence. He's the reality, you know, and yet he's your best friend. How would you talk to your best friend? Would you come up to him and start chanting to him like, hi, how are you doing? No, you'd talk to him from your heart or her from your heart. You know, if you have something to share with your friend, you know. It's not one type of prayer anymore. There's one type of talking to your friend. You have needs, bring it to God. You know, you have thanksgiving. You've been blessed. Look at the blessings in your life and give them thanks. You know, tell them you love them. You know, if you love somebody, what do? You tell them you love them. You spend time with each other. You do things together. You share with each other. You got a burden, you spill on the other person. You lean on their shoulders. You know, that's what it is. Okay, communion. Or how about you just spend time in their presence. You know, you love somebody, you just stay with them. You just look at them. That's okay too. Meditation and communion with God, you know. So the first thing about prayer, forget about how to pray. Just be with him. Be with him and be, he's your best friend, okay? And the greatest, most awesome joy, you know. And so, you know, even when the Lord gave the prayer, Our Father, the point was not that you go around saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, that wasn't the point. The point was of Our Father was he's saying like this, meaning that, you know, from your heart. He said, don't just do this as a repetition. He's saying, pray from your heart. In other words, the first part of that was, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Get your eyes on him first. Forget about your problems. Get your eyes on him. It says, give us our daily bread, meaning give him your needs. You got needs? Your daily bread. Your needs, give it to him. You know, he doesn't promise that he's going to answer all of your desires, but your wants, but he will answer your needs, what you need. Okay. You know, forgive us our sins that was in there. Well, cleansing. You're always, no matter how great you get, you're always going to need cleansing, you know, and then lead us not to temptation. That was in there. That's saying that, you know, pray for him to lead you and to avoid going the wrong way. You know, just be yourself. Come as you are. Okay, these are key stuff. Bring everything to him. Share everything with him, no matter how ungodly it is, no matter whatever it is that separates you from him, like, oh, I can't go because this separates him, all the more. Bring it to him. Unload to him. You know, unload your burdens to him, your worries, your problems, your responsibilities. Just give it to him. Your mess ups, your sins, your ungodly things, your regret, your guilt, you know. You know, if you feel that, oh, I just can't go to God, you know, because you just messed up and you feel I can't go, I'm ungodly, all the more. That's the time when you have to go. That's all the more. It's like saying, I don't want to go to the shower because I'm dirty. Go, you know, bring your needs to him. Don't pray by rote like, oh, this is how you pray. Pray from your heart. Doesn't even have to sound good. Just pray. You know, he'll meet you where you are. Remember something. He cannot do anything. He cannot meet a phony saint, but he can meet a real sinner. You got to be real with God. He'll be real with you. Bring the real stuff. Be honest to God. Enter his presence. Look at it as you're kind of entering a little portion of heaven. It's to be refreshed. Look at it as your most awesome, precious time. Get your eyes off yourself, forget about yourself, and meet him. Lift him up. Think of all his good things. Thank him. Forget the junk. You know, and sometimes it takes time to get deep. But let him touch the deepest part of your life. Sometimes you might just cry. You might unload, you know, but you got to be real. Let him. That's when he'll touch you. You might be all bottled up and all walled up. Let it go. Let his presence touch you, you know. And what about worship? You know, it's kind of a scary, like, what's worship? I'm not used to worshiping. Well, you know, if you go to a football game and you're into football and somebody, you know, and there's a touchdown, people go crazy. Well, you know, and here people are going crazy over a pigskin being kicked over a post. And yet, how about going crazy for the one who redeemed you, who's your Lord? You know, all that stuff where people go to rock concert and they scream and all that. We're made to worship. That's why it gets all misdirected in those other ways. But it's to him. That's what it is. You know, so don't worry about how to do it when you're in congregation with others. Don't worry about, you know, let it come from the inside. Don't try to force it, you know, and as you, when you're ready, and everybody has a different way, but, you know, you'll get into it. Just, you know, just know it's from your heart. Look at this time. It's your secret place and your secret time. It's the greatest honor you have in your day. You're going to be refreshed there. You have time to just soak in the greatest thing in your life. You know, a rich, deep, full life comes from the inside out. So here's where the inside begins, in the secret place. You know, when I first came to the Lord, I didn't know how to do this, you know, but it's just from your heart, you know, dwell on Him, meditate on Him and His goodness, and you're going to respond naturally. You won't have to try to work it up. It'll just come, you know. You know, so, and first your mind's probably going to wander on all these different things. You're going to try to, you know, pray or worship, and you're going to think about the bills and this. All right, let it go. You know, just bring that to Him too. Okay, I, you know, don't go crazy. I thought about that. I'm going to bring that to You too, Lord. You know, it's the greatest honor. Okay. So here is the next application. You wrote down the 20-minute period. Now do it. Now do it. Spend 20 minutes at least in His presence. Just be with Him. Just unload. Just unburden. And just try to, you know, picture being in heaven with Him. And just receive from Him, you know, everything you know about Him. And just whatever it is, do it. Okay? Even if it's late at night, do it. Turn off the cassette, you know, and do this. And I'll talk to you later after, you know, it's more important you meet with Him than me. So do it. Okay? And don't go on. You're going to miss it. There's no point in listening to this stuff without experiencing it. Do it. And even if you have a tough time, you don't feel anything, good, it's all right. Do it again. After a while, sometimes it takes time to break through. So your mind's wandering. Okay. After a while, you'll start focusing more. I mean, it might not be this period and maybe the next period you do it, but every day, this is the beginning, and eventually you'll break through, and there'll be times you don't want to leave. Okay. Let me stop talking. You got a great appointment. It's the greatest joy. Get in there. Okay. Turn off the cassette and come back when later. Okay. Okay. You're back. And don't be back unless you did it. Okay. All right. Now, if you've done it right, you've had quiet time and you've done the word. Now that you've got everything right there for one of the most powerful things in your life. And see, you could do it. It wasn't so hard. You did it. And time with the Lord every day, that 20 minutes special time at least, and the time, the time in His presence, and the time receiving the word and getting it into your heart. Okay? You've done it. It's tremendous. Over time, you're going to be totally blessed. We go now to the third foundation, which is the A, CASA, C-S-A. Remember, we skipped the first A. So A, and that stands for action. Remember, the Lord said, the one who hears My words and applies it is the one who built his house on the rock, on the rock. If you just hear the word, you don't do it, it doesn't really do good. But if you hear it every day, it's a daily thing. These are we already have the two daily things. You need to, the word and the quiet time, that 20-minute time of being in His presence and the word for every day of your life. And now the other thing is daily live it. You know, when you don't work for salvation. You don't try to earn God's love. He loves you and you receive it. But as you receive that love, it's got to flow out. Can't just flow in. It's got to flow out to keep flowing. Okay. But simple. Bible says, go right, go right. It says, go left, go left. You know, it says love. Well, do an action of love. Help out in the congregation. You know, get up, you know, do something, go up to somebody and share God's love. You got a bad relationship in your life. Go up to them, start changing it. Do something radical, you know? I mean, that's, you know, is good, and it's Him, and it'll start becoming your life. Do it every day. The harder the resistance to it is, the more powerful the change is. In other words, the harder, oh, that's so hard for me to do, I'm not like that. Well, the more the change will happen in your life. Do it for the rest of your life, and you'll be blessed, blessed, blessed. Okay, now here's the application. Okay, and it's real important. Now I'm going to do the three things we said about the three daily things are all going to become one. And I sort of gave it a little hint on that on the first teaching. But now, spend time is the third day of spending time with, you know, in the quiet time and with the Lord and with His word. Okay. And do your thing. Get into it. Do your thing. And pray for a word, particular word, you know, as you're reading, that's going to touch your heart. God's going to bring a particular verse. Do the same thing. Write it out. Say it. Write it out. Carry it with you. But this time, choose a word particularly that you know you need to really apply to your life in some way. And on that, write it on a card. write the word, you know, the scripture. And then on the other side of the card, write the application for your life. What do you need to do? If it, again, I said on the first one, it said, husbands, love your wives. And you've been, you know, had some tough things with your wives. Or even if you haven't, you know, write out a specific action to your wife. For your wife, you know, it might be to, you know, if you're reading, share the word, or I don't know what, you know, be pure. There's something in your life you have to get rid of. Whatever it is, write out the specific thing, you know, the word is touching you. There's a specific thing you have to do now. Maybe if you're, you know, do as much as you can do. If it's something's really, you think it's above you, well, go for it. But if at least do everything you can do, make it reasonable so you can do it. You know, just start taking the steps you can take. Okay. Whatever you can do, even if it's a little thing, do it. You'll be able to take stronger steps as time goes on. Okay. So don't do any, I mean, don't go on with this for the last one until you've gotten this down. Now, for the next time, again, you're looking specifically a verse you can really apply and you know you need to apply to your life right now. Okay? So do that. Write it in this card. On the other side, write down the specific application. And don't listen to this again until you do what you need to do. All right? And God's going to bless it. Okay. If you're listening now, you have done the action part and applied. Now, these are the three daily things you've already done it. Now, again, if you haven't, make sure to go back, do it. If you've done it, these are the three daily things that will help make sure your life is one of success in God and in all different ways. I mean, all sorts of things will happen because every time, be a different scripture, different experience with God in all different things, it'll be a safeguard to you, it'll be a treasure to you, it'll be a everything to you. You think ways you'll never even know. Okay, now we go to the last one, which is not the daily one, although it's great if it can be daily, but it's more than weekly, and that is this. The F, it's Casa F for the four foundations. Well, here it's F for fellowship. The Bible says, do not forsake the fellowship together, the gathering together. You know, there's, in other words, coming together, there's something about it. I can't tell you we don't even understand it, but there's something powerful about it, about coming together. Together in the Lord. There's something supernatural about it. You might not realize it. Of course, you know, you got to make sure you're in a solid congregation and all that. But there's something just tremendous about it. And people of all different types and, you know, people you might not associate with normally, listen, that's part of growth, you know. Attend, be part. There's some things only happen in the body of the fellowship. It's called the body in the Lord. Like each part has different gifts and each one blesses the other. Not just a weekend service, but I mean, that's key, you know, to be together. And you know, I'll tell you, you know, at the beginning I mentioned there are statistics and studies with your health and all that. It's amazing how many of them were linked to fellowshipping together in worship services. They don't understand it. I don't understand it. But amazing how much, I mean, things like divorce and alcoholism and how, you know, these rates are cut like in half or whatever, or far more than that. Health things, you know, cholesterol, high blood pressure, all, I mean, from prayer, from reading the Bible, from active faith, you know, being active in faith, and really a lot on the fellowshipping together. It's, I mean, amazing in worship service. So most of them are on the weekends, you know, but there's really a Friday night at 8 and Sunday morning. But also small groups are crucial. Get connected with other believers in small groups because you get to know people, they get to know you. There's blessings for it. People can pray for you. You can have questions answered. It's like the buddy system that'll just really bless you in all sorts of ways. And for us, you know, ask us, you know, and if you're across the country, whatever the congregation is, but check with them, but ask us and we'll do everything we can to get you involved. There are probably people near you and whatever. Okay. Any activities, get involved. Anything you can do, if you want, can help out, help out. I mean, do help out. Don't just, if you can, we all can. Right. So, we'll help you with that, but get connected with other believers. It's really great to get into a weekly, small group Bible study in some way, or a prayer meeting or something, you know, in some way. There are often different meetings during the week, you know, whether at the building or at homes. Okay. So what's the application for this last one? And that is, well, you know, be there. Don't, even when you don't feel like it, be there, get out there, help out, you know, don't just be there to get, you know, you'll receive, but be there to bless other people too, you know, and serve and help out. you know, and you'll be blessed. That'll start a healthy thing, you know, and going there. Okay. So what's the next, the last application? Real simple. Be there. And if you're from, and if you're in the area and you got this from here, well, I'll see you there. Okay. And now, make sure to get the next cassette. And the next cassette, on that, I'm going to take you into the world of the Bible to explore it. You're going to know your way. You're going to have a good feel of the Bible and how to discern truth from error. A lot of secrets there. And it'll be the one manna and the word. And then also one called Stepping Out and the Butterfly Principle. And that'll really have, that's going to be a very exciting one and a challenging one. All right. So whatever you need to do, to bring in a card or coupon or whatever it is to, that you've done the applications and again, make sure before you go on, I'm going to be real redundant on this. I'm going to hold you to this, do the applications and then say, hey, I did it and I'm ready for the next one. Okay. God bless you. And you've got the foundations of a successful and abundant life already. God bless you.